Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Talk Back, a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Media Group stations in Fayetteville. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily the opinions of the Beasley Media Group, its employees, or advertisers. I'm Paul Johnson, sitting in this week for Danny Highsmith. Good morning. It's Sunday, January 16th. I'm Paul Johnson. This is Talk Back. We're coming to you in the middle of a weather event. Light rain turning into freezing rain and staying with us through various points in Fayetteville till probably about 10 o'clock when it turns over to rain. Points west, like Pinehurst, Rockingham, North Carolina, and points west of there, it's going to be a stormier day. It's going to involve more freezing rain, possibly snow. Possible power lines down, treacherous travel. We'll keep you updated. Keep an eye to the sky where you live. Understand that traveling is probably a little more risky. Should you experience a power outage, make sure you notify your utility by either phone or online if you can. On this January 16th, it doubles as National Fig Newton Day, Appreciate a Dragon Day, International Hot and Spicy Foods Day, National Quinoa Day, National Good Teen Day. One day left until the Martin Luther King observed holiday. His actual birthday was yesterday, January 15th. 17 days left till Groundhog Day, 29 till Valentine's Day, 44 until Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. That means 45 to the beginning of Lent with Ash Wednesday. It was on this date in 1939, the Superman comic strip made its debut. In 1974, Mickey Mantle was elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame. 1988, Jimmy the Greek Snyder was fired from CBS Television for making a racist comment. In 1991, the White House announced the start of Operation Desert Storm to drive Iraqi forces out of Kuwait. In 1992, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted Jimi Hendrix, Elmore James, and Johnny Cash. And in 1996, Jamaican authorities fired on Jimmy Buffett's seaplane because they thought it was a drug trafficker's plane. U2 singer Bono was with Buffett. Neither were hurt. Tragically, in 2003, on January 16th, the space shuttle Columbia blasted off on what would be its final mission. That craft broke up on its descent on February 1st, 2003. All aboard were killed. In 2007, Barack Obama launched his successful bid for the White House. And in 2009, Paul Blart, Mall Cop, debuted in theaters. In 2020, the first impeachment trial of Donald Trump formally moved into its trial phase in the U.S. Senate. And on January 16th, 2021, 1 year ago, record producer Phil Spector died. He was in prison, convicted of murder. A few of the historical notes from this January 16th. And today on Talkback, a story of determination, goal setting, struggle, and ultimately triumph. With the help of people who believed in her own stick-to-itiveness, Fayetteville attorney Nicole Cotton has made a success out of her legal career so far and her entrepreneurialism.
That's my belief system. I'm a very optimistic person, positive, driven, self-determined. I definitely have faith in a higher power as well as belief and faith in myself. And I often say, you know, I'm going to bet on myself in any circumstance, and it's been tried and tested and true. I know I've overcome many circumstances. Therefore, I know that if you just continue to persevere and put one foot in front of the other and just continue to have that positive mind, I just believe whatever frequency and however you're vibrating is what you're going to attract into your life. And so whatever's in your thought form and whatever you meditate upon and think about will give life to your actions and those things which can change and will change your circumstances and your environment. That's one of the tenets in my beliefs in life has gotten me, you know, to where I am now.
Right now, you are in the process of buying and moving into
a brand new building. Talk about that.
I'm pretty excited about the current developments for the firm and for myself personally. We did purchase a historic home, 219 Dick Street. It's within walking distance of the courthouse. Beautiful office there. It's pretty much a dream come true. I feel very blessed. You know, I have a master's in business management and I've been into entrepreneurship for a while. And so I believe in having multiple streams of income and diversifying. And I've done that and evolved and done that several times, either whether it's being in one geographical area, starting off in Robson County with my office, and then another office in Fayetteville, North Carolina, two different geographical areas and two different markets for my one particular area of practice, that being criminal defense. Then once I was here in Fayetteville, I diversified a number of years ago with a lot of my background in the personal injury and insurance industry. I had worked for two major automobile insurance companies, and so I was able to expand into personal injury because I understand both sides, having worked for the large insurance companies and then advocating for the victims. So as an entrepreneur, it's important to continue to develop and evolve, whether it's if you're going to take on different markets, different practice areas, and having multiple streams of income. And I look at the office that I would purchase for the firm as an investment property, investing in myself and investing in the business. Real estate is always good, and I'm grateful and blessed that, you know, through the hard work and blessings that I was able to procure this office during this time that we're going through. We know that the interest rates are just the best that they've been. So just being able to get in there and seize opportunity and allow for additional expansion for my firm. I've hired on several new associates in multiple practice areas, and we are looking to expand in family law. So I have an attorney who practices in Maryland. People have been asking and requesting here in Fayetteville for us to handle family law cases. So we are going to be able to selectively take on and help the community, the military community with family law. We're excited about that expansion. So it's just been a joy to bring forth all of my gifts, talents, abilities, known and unknown. Being an attorney and a business owner, manager, multiple hats has revealed to me over the years my strengths, but more importantly, areas that I needed to develop and work on. And some of those things I'm having to develop and make it a strength of mine happens more publicly. You do your due diligence, but there's some variables, things you don't know. I don't consider those things to be a failure. It's what you take from it. It's a learning experience, and you think you could never know unless you go through the experience. And I just think just having that outlook and believing in myself, and, you know, I study people like Napoleon Hill, and I read empowerment books and books regarding people who've had a number of success, and just understand that we go down similar paths and similar mindsets. That's helped me to fortify myself and to continue to persevere and expand in my mindset. I definitely believe in creativity. I'm looking at this office again as another landscape, another canvas for me to bring forth my creativity, whether it's on the design or some of the construction work that's happening in there, and then how we're going to set it up and the ability, the space for further expansion. And that's happening on the precipice of me expanding into the Durham market as well.
Wow.
I've been collaborating with one of my mentors, attorneys in that area for a number of years. And I was just this weekend there looking at an office space that we want to have jointly together. So just the opportunities during this time frame. I know that some people do have real issues. I pray, I meditate, I write down affirmations, I affirm things, I verbalize it. Things I want for myself and for my business and even just the community. I have a heart for serving the people in the community and having to continue to work and keep my workers employed during the pandemic and serve my clients during the pandemic when we had to go remote at times or when we would lose some employees just because of different issues, childcare issues. Thank God we were able to maintain, and we were actually more than maintaining. We were thriving during the last year. It felt really good, very positive to work diligently for people who have been injured in accidents and be able to try to get them compensated financially, monetarily. We hold the insurance companies liable, and we seek all the compensation that's possible for our clients, and we deliver those checks to families. And when you see people just suffering otherwise, you know, we have a epidemic of people suffering with depression and isolation, and during this time we have further isolation. I just want to be a light, and I have to first do these things for myself. I have to first build up myself internally and my mindset internally, and that way people can see that light on you, or you can be in the community, be the light. My love and care and adoration for the community has just deepened knowing that we all have gone through something and we're still here. And I believe a lot of people have relied on their faith even more so now than ever. And it's definitely been important to me. But I believe all things are working out for our good.
Going way back to when it was you and your mom, did she put that determination into you and the hope into you? How did that come about?
I would have to say yes. My mother was a phenomenal woman. She transitioned in 2019, and I was there with her to her last breath. She made an indelible impact on me. Just knowing her life story and that there were opportunities that maybe were not afforded to her, opportunities that she did not see for herself, having been a domestic worker with only an eighth grade education, raising me as a single mom. Knowing that her story, it made me, knowing how much she loved and cared for me and wanted the best for me, motivated me to look beyond being in impoverished circumstances. I always was able to envision and see a world and a life outside of that. Where she came in that was so important was just through the constant love that she gave me and affirming me. I've always been affirmed verbally. If I had a dream and a passion and I wanted to do something, she always affirmed. She always spoke blessings over me. I think that's important for family members, and no matter what, to always speak life. And I would say that's one of the determining factors, because I do know in my family and outside my family, people don't always do that. But having her believe in me and affirm, whether it's when I wanted to, when I was in junior high, when I wanted to move to college preparatory courses because I knew that I needed to go into college and make it better for myself. Maybe scholastic, maybe standardized tests I didn't perform where I needed to be for that, but I had that desire, and had, through my counselor, moving to those college prep courses, and my mother, you know, affirmed that and supported that. And then just, you know, being the first to go to college at USC in Columbia and being accepted into a first generation program for college students, and having my mother, you know, whatever way, it may not have been financially, but whatever way, verbally and standing beside me and checking on me and, you know, and telling me I could do it. And even after my first year when I, you know, struggled a little bit and didn't want to return, and for her to relocate herself from one city, which is about 35 minutes away, to Columbia, South Carolina, so I could live with her and have that wow. nurture and that support. Just through actions like that, and just keeping, you know, just keeping a close eye on me when I was in school and making sure I stayed the course and stayed the path, meant a lot for me. So I think my mother's life and the positive, the way she spoke, and she never, you know, had depression. She always just, you know, she had very little, but her mind was always very positive. And I think having me, you know, she was a little bit older in life, gave her a lot more. She saw a lot of things that she could see for herself. And
mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Now, there were other people that saw, even though you were struggling, they loved how you worked and how you went about it, and they helped you along. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful story, too. Then, as you went on to get a master's degree, you were still working every day at the same time. Talk about the diligence that it took to do that.
Well, yes. And by that time, that was just par for the course. I was working since I was 16 years old, working at fast food. And then when I went on to work on my bachelor's degree, I had two part-time jobs, which that equal a full-time job, while I was working towards my bachelor's degree at the University of South Carolina. And after my first year, where I told you I struggled, I maintained the dean's list 3.5 until the last year I made the president's list. And so, yes, once after undergrad, I was working in the telecommunication industry. That job had opportunity to pay for me to seek an advanced degree. And I worked on my master's in business management while I maintained a full-time job. And then, of course, you know, when I attended law school at NCCU, Yet again, I work full time while for an insurance company while I was a full time student as well.
Amazing. And then, while you would consider, and most people would consider, having a master's degree in business management as something to hang your hat on, you saw law school as something that you wanted to do. Talk about how that came about.
Well, I've wanted to be a lawyer since I was a child. Once I became an attorney, everyone from my church and my hometown would explain to me and say, Nicole or Nikki, you always said, when you were riding on the church bus, we would come and pick you up and take you to church. My mother didn't have a vehicle, so we would go to church bus. And it was just said, you were always saying that you wanted to be an attorney. My mother let me know that my father, who had passed, had wanted me to be an attorney. He came from a family of educators, and that's what he saw for me. And again, my mother planting those seeds with me as to what my father wanted for me and her encouragement. It was just, I considered when I went to law school for it to be a dream deferred. That's what I always tell people. I always knew from when I was in undergrad I wanted to go to law school. I actually had taken the LSAT, and I just had my eyes set on Duke, and I didn't, have the grades for Duke, so I went into the workforce, and but still had that as a dream. And when I was living in Atlanta, working for the insurance companies there, the automobile insurance companies there, I expressed to some of the ladies who were some of the claims adjusters that I always wanted to be an attorney, and they said, do it now. And so I applied, and I had just gotten I had a promotion with my job. At the same time, I had received pre-qualifications for this home I wanted to buy in the Atlanta metro area, and I received my acceptance letter for NCCU. And so I had a decision, and I just took the path, and I packed up everything from my condo there and relocated to Durham, and I'm glad I did to start law school.
One of my favorite stories that you had to tell was you get out of law school, you're in Durham, a great place to live and a great place to look, and the opportunity comes for you to start in Lumberton and Fayetteville. And you then again had to make a decision. Talk about that.
Well, yes. Well, I graduated law school in 2008. We had the whole our economy and the housing market, everything was, a trying time for our country. And so I just remember my mentors. I had wonderful, great leadership and mentorship at NCCU. Advising if you're open, for different geographical areas, that's the best thing you can do as far as trying to procure a job. And so I received a job offer here in Fayetteville, and I commuted for, I think, a month from Durham here for the job. And then that commute wore on me. And so I just, ended up moving and relocating here, which is one of the best decisions I made by relocating to Fayetteville. And then under a year's time of being here, that entrepreneur spirit was with me, and I started my first law firm. I actually started in Lumberton, North Carolina. Fayetteville was a bit intimidating at the time.
But the thing is, you came in, and with the power of a slogan, my last name is Cotton, but I'm no softy.
Yes.
You built up a practice that continued to grow. A little bit of faith that things would work out if you applied yourself. Maybe a little bit of, the self-determination you always had. And then talk about how your law firm developed and how your practice developed.
Well, as I was trying to figure out where I was going to start my law firm, I met a wonderful young lady who worked at the public defender's office there in Robeson County, and she was so welcoming and didn't know me. I didn't know anyone in Robeson, but it was just very embracing and welcoming me to the area if I wanted to start my law firm there. And it was faith then to And I made the decision that I was going to open my law firm there. And I live here in Fayetteville. That was fine. I was able to go there and learn, develop my skills, my trial skills there. And the bar there, they were so welcoming, so loving, so diverse. And I grew there. I grew my business there. I was there for a number of years. But being a resident here in Cumberland County, people would get to know me and ask me to handle cases. So I opened up a little small law office here. And then I just started hearing people say to me, had I known that you were here, I would have hired you, you know. And so I listened. I'm very conscientious. So I listened, and I was like, if they want me, then I'm going to let them know that I'm here. And, you know, I'm known for, you know, being a big marketer. But I just listened to the people. And I opened up a second office here that quickly I needed a larger space. And I ended up being in that location for a number of years. And I've continued to expand in the area here. So it's been a beautiful journey.
Fantastic. Well, all the way, your faith guides you. You're constantly looking at the entrepreneurial ways of others as an example for you. You listen to mentors. You read. And you've got a vision, and now you have a new office, which is in a prime location because it's close to the court.
Yes.
You know? And all of that, you know, you've made happen through, you know, your own diligence, and, you know, we're proud of you as part of ours, as part of our community here, much as you've enjoyed being part of the community here as well.
Thank you. I definitely have always felt, and I do feel, the love and the support of the community here. It brings, you know, my eyes to tears, because it resonates with me, and the people here, they let me know, they see me kind of as an auntie or a sister a lot of times, people, and people let me know when they see, you know, my advertisement on the bus, that they see someone that looks like them, or they see a woman, or, you know, me standing for diversity, and it resonates with a lot of forward-thinking people, and they let me know, and I want to, you know, it's a give and take, reciprocity. They love me, I love them, and it's very palpable.
And I hope it continues as long as you want it to. We're looking forward to seeing Cotton Law Firm many, many years to come.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Attorney Nicole Cotton, a good neighbor, someone you should know. And on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, a story of encouragement and hope. If you want something bad enough or willing to work for it, it can always be yours. In this ongoing weather event, please be safe and be careful. That's our show for today. This has been Talk Back, a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Media Group in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm Paul Johnson. Please be safe. Have a great week.